Okay. All right, so tonight's teaching is, the title is Forgiving What You Cannot Forget. Let's go to Matthew 6, 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So in these verses, this is teaching us that in order to receive forgiveness, we in turn must forgive others. You know, and if we do, nothing will be withheld from us. So that's, you know, according to Jesus, forgiveness is not optional. It's not even suggested. It's essential. Forgiveness is an intentional act of letting go of resentment, anger, or desire for retribution against someone who has wronged you. You know, we all got a lot of forgiving to do, and a lot of us need, you know, a lot of forgiveness. You know, we have to be careful in, you know, getting upset with other people and thinking that it's okay just because, you know, they're wrong. That's not the case. It is human nature to hold on tightly to memories of betrayal and trauma. The enemy's desire is to remain attached to our hurt. Because this is what blocks God's flow of love. And, you know, we are all called to love. I mean, that's, you know, the only way we can actually forgive anyone is if we have that love of God. So, let's go to Colossians 3. Verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And one more. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. So forgiveness requires releasing the burdens that weigh on our hearts. In our minds, we want to... you know, we want to resist that forgiveness. We want to seek to justify our pain. Some people, you know, hold on to it a little bit longer than others, and some of them have a deeper pain that is harder for them to let go of than others. And, you know, but holding on to that unforgiveness restricts our growth, and it damages relationships. And it diverts us from our true purpose. You know, God has a purpose from us, and, you know, we're not going to be able to move forward in our lives until we let go of a lot of the stuff that we are holding on to. And it's a bondage. But the more that we allow it to consume us, the greater its control is over us. So we are called to let go, not because those who hurt us deserve the forgiveness. Some do, some don't. But we are called to forgive because it brings us inner healing. The forgiveness is for us, yes, for others too, because sometimes, you know, you forgiving somebody else will bring them to a repentance. But it's mainly for us and our inner healing. The forgiveness opens the door to restoration and peace, allowing God's light and love to fill the darkest places in our souls. And our healing depends on, it doesn't depend on, you know, the other person coming to us and seeking our forgiveness. It's not dependent upon that. We make that choice to forgive. It's all us. You know, we have to do that. A lot of people will hang on to things waiting for someone else to come to them and seek, you know, forgiveness. But someday, that may never happen because a lot of people are just too prideful to do that. So, and of course, you know, we're not going to delay our healing because we're waiting on somebody else to forgive or give the forgiveness. No. Let's go to Romans 12, verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And this scripture is kind of talking about what I just said about, you know, sometimes, you know, if somebody has done you wrong and you purpose to go to them, you make that choice to go to them and offer that forgiveness to them, even though they haven't asked for it, sometimes that could be what triggers them into a repentance or a brokenness in their heart where they would seek the Lord. Some of you may or may not know, but I recently, Jeff and I recently went to see his son, who he hasn't seen in 24 years. He was 9 years old when he was taken from him, and he hasn't seen him since. You know, so he doesn't know what all was said or wasn't said or anything like that. But one of the first things that he did when he saw his son is he told him that whatever it was that he needed to say to him, please say to him, so that they could begin the healing process and that, you know, he could seek his forgiveness for any, you know, whatever pain he may have caused him. And that conversation, well, not that particular one, but a little bit later on down the road, brought his son to tears. So it was the beginning of his healing process. Let's see. Let's go to Psalm 86, verse 1 through 5. Bow down your ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant. For to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. What stuck out with me in these few scriptures here was the ready to forgive. You know, we do a lot. We do a lot of things that we need forgiveness for from the Lord, and we do stupid things, but the God is always ready to forgive us, no matter what it is, no matter how long we've been doing it. He's there, ready and waiting. And the thing is, you know, he's quick to forgive, And if he can forgive what is unforgettable, so can we through his love in us. I mean, he died on the cross for us, you know, and that wasn't, you know, he didn't commit all those sins, but he died on the cross for us so that we could love. It was all love. He loved us that much. So he's very quick to forgive. And forgiveness doesn't deny the pain. It releases it through God's love. It's a decision to love despite the pain. Let's go to Luke 23:34. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." One thing that I pondered on when reading this is, you know, when someone has wronged you, one of the things that I have learned and still learning to do is to try to look behind the scenes, because generally people that are reacting like that, there's something behind it. It's not always, you know, what is going on in that particular situation. Sometimes it's their own wounds that is causing them to react rather than respond. And of course, there's those that don't know about reacting and responding. But so that's, you know, their own pain. They hide it, but they manifest it with hateful words or acts. So, you know, I know it's difficult sometimes. We, you know, it's just an automatic thing that we want to react when somebody says something nasty to us or something like that. But us as Christians, we've learned, you know, to respond versus react. And sometimes even that, a soft answer turns away wrath, right? So, let's see. Let's go to Genesis 50. 19 through 21. Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. All right. So in the story of Joseph, we all know the story of Joseph and where his brothers sold him into slavery. They meant him harm, but God turned that around. And, you know, had it not been for Joseph, his forgiveness, you know, it didn't erase the memory of what happened to him, but it freed him to save nations. I don't know if I could have forgiven him, because that's a hard thing. I mean, somebody you know, in slavery for years, you know, but thank God that we know better. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So this is this these scriptures are talking about everything that love, you know, what love is and what it does. And but, you know, love is not proud. So unforgiveness stems from pride or self-protection, which only love can dismantle. It encourages us to see through God's eyes. You know, we look at people sometimes and, you know, we think the worst first in people. And but one of the things I try to remind myself of is that they're God's children also. You know, we're not the only ones. And yes, there are some that just definitely seem unlovable, and you think to yourself, and I've said it myself, it's like, Lord, how can you love them? I've said that about myself. Lord, how can you love me? I mean, I did this, this, and this, you know, but God's love is unconditional. And it doesn't matter. It's just like any parent. They love their child no matter what. Do they like the things they do? No. Not all of them, but they do love them, and it is unconditional. So we have to purpose to see people through God's eyes. 1 John 4, 7 through 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So God tells us here that we are to love one another. Just basically what I was talking about there. And love is a choice. It's a reflection of God and his character. And that is what we are to portray to others that see us. You know, we want, I mean, the desire is that anyone that sees us sees God. So, you know, we have to purpose to walk in his statutes, in his righteousness, in his love. You know, if we're walking around here being something we're not supposed to be, then who's going to want us, you know, if people look at us and say, if that's God, I don't want anything to do with it. And I've done that with some Christians before because of the way they act. So we have to be careful about that. And again, love is a choice, and we can't forget that love empowers us to reframe the memories through compassion that breaks the cycle of resentment. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. I'm sure we all know this. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. I think that says it all, really. You know, as in my walk with the Lord, I have determined that everything that we have learned, it's all summed up in love. That's in my opinion, you know, because it conquers all, right? Love conquers all. And it's like people are in such need of that these days. And that's one of the things that, you know, when we did go to see Jeff's son, that's what he needed. He was feeling rejected. There was so many things that he was feeling, I think, and he did not voice all of them. But it's like I told him, I told Jeff, I was like, he doesn't need a soldier father right now. He needs love, and that's what's going to penetrate that hardened heart of his. That's what's going to bring him to repentance. But you know, and it's a good thing. He actually, we left him prayer books. So that was, and I believe that's what he wanted. He's searching, he's crying out. And even though it was a difficult situation, because at one point, you know, it's like, okay, what do you do? But again, I think that just showing him love, being there for him, not to pet his demons, but being there for him is what's going to change things for him. Praying for him, obviously, but let's go to Romans 8:28. A lot of people have a hard time forgiving themselves, much less other people. Sometimes I think ourselves is the hardest to forgive. Let's see. Okay, so Romans 8:28-38. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in this we see that, you know, no matter what happens in our lives, there's going to be good and bad things. But when we're in the Lord, everything is going to work out to the good. You know, we've all had bad things happen in our lives, but God will use those things to possibly, you know, talk to someone else about our experiences that we've had with that particular issue. You know, we can't erase painful memories. But we can change whether or not they have any power over us and let them go. So we basically turn the wounds into testimonies, you know, that can help somebody else. And focus on God's purpose for us, not the pain that we've gone through, because that'll just keep you in bondage. So the devil wants the pain to define us, and God wants to use it to refine us. So, and it's a, you know, it's a decision that you make. It's a choice you make. It's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. You know, I read something one time that said if the Lord tried to take all of our pain at one time, it would probably kill us. You know, so it's kind of like that whole peeling the onion thing, you know, one layer at a time, because some of them are so deep rooted that it takes time to get rid of them. So when painful memories surface, you know, just pause and thank God for his love that sustains us. And a couple of things that we can do if things like that happen is to meditate on love's power, and pray for our offenders, and reframe the memories. You know, look back and see how God has used that, what happened in your life, for good. you know, and just kind of make a journal of it and reflect back on it at later times. So, and of course, acts of kindness. We do those things. Be, you know, acts of love, really. We can do certain things that will keep us out of that state. Acts of service, encouraging other people, things like that. So, and I think I made it 20 minutes, Katie. Praise God. So, Father, we just thank you, Father. We thank you for this word tonight, Lord. We just ask that you give us foresight and insight on every word that was spoken, Father. And I pray, Father, that it reached the needed ears that needed to hear it tonight, Lord. And again, we just thank you for this service tonight, Father. And we just ask that you be glorified in everything that was said and done here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ah.